Welcome to New Pod. Presented by Knotfest.com. Primer 55 bassist Joshua Toomey and War Machine merch mastermind Ro Coley bring you a weekly dose of all things new. Album deep dives, news, interviews. This is New Pod.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of New Pod right here on Knotfest.com. As always, I'm Joshua Toomey. That is Ro Coley. And this week, we have the mighty Max Cavalera on the podcast. He is on to talk about Go Ahead and Die, upcoming tour that they have. By the time this is out, they will already be out. So go check your local listings and go check out some Go Ahead and Die, because most likely they are going to be in your town and within 5 minutes of your town this entire tour. But yeah, the dates on this tour are wild, bro.
Yeah, dude, they're playing so, I mean, seriously, it's like two and a half weeks with like one day off. It really is, man. I mean, he said he was what, like 54, 55 years old? Like, yeah. And he's basically doing what is the equivalent of like a punk rock van tour. He lives, breathes, sweats, bleeds metal, man. He is the real deal. He always has been.
You know, this being like the first episode of 2024 for New Pod, it's kind of like a poetic thing that it's Max Cavalera, because the first time I ever got to interview Max Cavalera, the hookup was Ro Coley. So pretty awesome that it kind of comes full circle. And we are coming out the gates huge this year with Max Cavalera on the show. Got some other awesome guests lined up for the podcast. And I think it's going to be a pretty amazing year.
2024 is going to have a lot of really cool stuff for this podcast. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we really do. We got some really incredible guests coming up. We have some new segments that we're working on. We got this is definitely New Pod 2.0 for sure.
Well, let's dive into some news, man. There's something I shared on Facebook a little while ago. Monty Connor always posts these fantastic. A great follow on Facebook is Monty Connor, yes. Legendary Roadrunners A&R guy. Now with Nuclear Blast. But he always posts album covers and kind of like where the photo came from, maybe some history of the band. And he posted a very long story about Roadrunner trying to sign Deftones. And one of the big hangups was the name. And now the name is a name. Korn's, as silly as a band name it is, that's still Korn. Deftones is Deftones, and that sounds cool now. But at the time, obviously the name Deftones in the early 90s, summer of 93, sent a Deftones demo by their manager. But then they get to looking at signing the band, and they really just did not want to use the name Deftones.
Well, yeah, I mean, tones back then, any Skeletones, it was all related to ska. So it was just like, I remember when I first heard Deftones, I was like, oh, who is the ska band? Putting deaf in tones, like, it's just kind of like, oh,
right.
It seems like two words that are just kind of goofy together. And then when you listen to it and you're like, this isn't ska. This isn't like, where is this word? Where is this name coming from? And also just the fact that everybody calls it the Deftones,
mm-hmm.
which is incorrect also. It's just Deftones.
Yeah, it's a tough one. In the quote from Monty, it says, in 1993, after seeing the word deaf added to the dictionary, Rick Rubin, the arbiter of all things hip, decided the word had lost its cool factor and made the bold move of changing the name of his highly successful record label from Deaf American to simply American. The mainstreaming of the word went against the anti-establishment image that he was trying to project for the label. In typical Rubin style, he was going to make the name change an event, and a highly publicized mock funeral was held at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery in Los Angeles, August 27th, 1993, to bury the word deaf.
And they even had a big gravestone on it, deaf.
And then, like what you just said, more importantly, at the same exact time, there was a full-blown ska movement happening in America with bands like the Mighty Mighty Boston, Sublime, No Doubt, Goldfinger, Real Big Fish, Rancid, Less Than Jake, and the Squirrel Nut Zippers. So to me, the tones part of the band made them sound like a ska band. So with deaf and tones no longer being cool, they were going back and forth on what the band name should be. And they eventually came to the point where they might have called themselves Engine Number 9, which I'm glad they never changed it to.
Yeah, great song, though. But yeah kind of happy they didn't do that also. Speaking of Monty Connor and Roadrunner Records, I thought I'd make this announcement also that I'm currently working on a history of Roadrunner Records documentaries with a lovely guy named Jim Saxton out of the UK. Yeah, I'm going to be a part of this really awesome documentary, helping to set up the interviews and everything. If you guys get a chance, go on YouTube. His podcast is called The Temple of Bleh. B-L-E-H. So please look it up. It's got a ton of interviews with ex-Roadrunner employees such as myself. A lot of like Amy Scaretto, the publicist, who's now, you know, she does PR for Killswitch and a ton of bands, and just so many awesome old Roadrunner friends of mine and peers and band members, all giving their takes on their experiences with Roadrunner Records. And this documentary is very much the good, the bad, and the ugly. Of Roadrunner, of which I have my amazing life stories that I will never forget and always cherish. There's definitely the bad parts of it that, yeah, you know, really bummed me out. I think that's really the important part of what this, the legacy of this label was for everybody. I mean, for me, for you, Josh, for Max Cavalera, for, I mean, just how much that label influenced lifestyle and pop culture on a multitude of levels. I mean, giving us Slipknot and Type O Negative and just, you know, even Nickelback, you know, just giving everybody this whole new thing. I'm really, really excited. I hope everybody gets involved. We're going to probably be doing a Kickstarter and Indiegogo and GoFundMe to help, offset production costs. So please, everyone, yeah, be on the lookout for it. We're really excited about it. So
yeah, I definitely have my money coming on that one, man, because there was obviously a period of time where you went into a record store, if it had that Roadrunner label on it, you bought it, you didn't even care, and you just because even as a kid I knew Monty Connor wasn't gonna sign bullshit. Even some of the weirder stuff, even like a Dog Eat Dog or something like that shit was awesome. You know, like the whole all the stuff on the label ended up being pretty amazing,
and especially with that label too. It's like with so many weird bands, like just bands that people don't even know about, like Shank 456,
right?
Or like the Workhorse Movement, or one of my favorite bands ever is a band called Buzz Oven from North Carolina. It's a total sludgy, dirgy crust metal punk band, you know, that a lot of people don't know. But if there's so many aspects of Roadrunner that people really hold close and dear, near and dear to their heart. And I think this is, I think this documentary is really going to be able to kind of put all of that out there for people to really see this label that probably people just never expected to become what it became. And now it became this big giant in the world of metal and pop culture. So I'm really excited to be a part of it. So please make sure you guys keep an eye out, keep an ear out, check out Temple of Bleh on YouTube. And there'll be more info coming as soon as it arrives.
In a new interview with Brutal Planet magazine, Fear Factory guitarist Dino Cazares spoke about the band's plan to make a new studio album in 2024. The effort will mark Fear Factory's recording debut with the group's latest addition, Italian-born vocalist Milo Silvestro, whose addition to Fear Factory was officially announced in February of 2023. Are you excited to hear a full album with Milo on it?
I am, actually. I love Bert. We're tremendously great friends with Bert. We love Bert and his wife. But I'll tell you something, man. This kid's got, he's got the pipes. He sounds really good. I think live he's really great, and he compliments the band extremely well. So I am excited to hear what he's got and kind of where he's gonna help sort of take the band also. So yeah, really, really excited about it. I think he's a really good dude.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what he adds to the band, because obviously he does sound like Burton live, and that's obviously you have to sound like that to be in Fear Factory. But in my recent interview with Dino, he did pop on for the last like 5 or 10 minutes, and I got to ask him a few questions.
Right on.
And he seems like the main thing we talked about was kind of his start in a band, obviously not being in a touring band ever in his life. And now, you know, basically Dino said that they've done 120 shows with him. Wow. So now he's a seasoned vet. So we'll kind of see where it goes, man.
Yeah, it's funny too, because even watching him live, just with the lights and everything, there are times in certain angles where he looks like a really young Bert. And it really, you know, when you hear Demanufacture, you know, you hear some, you know, Shock or one of these songs, it's like it sort of transports me back to those days where it's just like, you know, you really feel it. Fucking, I'm feeling it today. That's fucking sure.
Right. Yeah, he's definitely got the young Burton look, like the with the floppy hair and everything. One last thing before we get into our interview with Max Cavalera. Mudvayne's Chad Gray says most new music sounds the same. There's nothing separating one band from another. In a recent interview with The Underground Australia, Mudvayne frontman lamented the lack of originality of a lot of the newer hard rock and heavy metal bands, saying that there is nothing separating one band from another. And then talking about the rebirth of the late 90s, early 2000s music. In the recent years, the presence of fresh, new metal-inspired artists. Chad just goes on to talk about how they all kind of just sound the same. So,
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. In fact, I don't. I'll say that just plainly. When you have bands like, I don't know, Slaughter to Prevail, and you have bands like Fugitive, you know, that Max brought up, you know, like, I mean, even your bands like Power Trip, and I don't know, there's so many incredible. Orbit Culture is incredible. You know, there really are a lot of bands out there right now that, in my opinion, are really, you know, Spirit Box, you know, that are really changing not changing the face of metal per se, but like that are absolutely bringing a newfound energy and aspect to it that I think is extremely fresh. Like, it's very rare that I'll go to a show and be like, meh, heard that before, you know, like, it's
right,
that doesn't really happen. It's like people have there's so many amazing new bands out there that I feel like it kind of discounts all the things that people have done. I think that if he thinks that metal has become very homogenous and same sounding, then in my opinion, Mudvayne better fucking bring it on the next goddamn record and show everybody what's what. If you're going to make a blanket statement like that, then you better fucking show that you got something that's way better than everything else.
His quote is, dude, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I don't give a fuck. Because I'm me and I've got stuff to say and I'm going to say it. Music now to me, God bless them, new bands, but they sound the same. All new records remind me of the same fucking thing. There's nothing separating it, one band from another. It's like one band kind of does something, 100 bands follow that band, then another band does something, and then 100 bands follow that band, and they all just sound like the same fucking band. I was on Ozfest 2001, so you had Slipknot, Manson, Papa Roach, Disturbed, Mudvayne, Drowning Pool, every fucking band, every band I just named, none of them sounded the same. None of them. And then he just goes on and on about, you know, old man yelling in a cloud. But if you don't dive into the new music, if you just go, oh, this is a new band, because I will say that there's a lot of tones and a lot of recording practices and things like that do sound the same, that they do kind of, you know, drums a lot of times, they'll use the same triggers and they'll use the same this and that. I mean, I get that, because back then you didn't have all of the sampling and they had Pro Tools, but they didn't necessarily have the Ax Effects and all of the different plugins and things like that a lot of bands are using, because obviously someone found a good sound and everybody's running with a good sound. But I do think that there are tons of bands out there that do sound different from one another. They might sound a little similar in the recording, just the nature of the way bands are recorded now. But I think that there's a lot of stuff out here, and from what I've heard from Mudvayne Live recently, you're probably going to need some studio magic to help them out.
Can't argue that, dude. I saw them twice or three times in the last like 2 years. And I definitely didn't feel the magic that I once felt when they opened for Slipknot in 01 on Halloween in New York. Came out, blood, bullet holes in their head and fucking blood stain, you know, and they sounded young and hungry. Maybe they think that bands don't sound young and hungry anymore, but in that regard, I 100% disagree.
Yeah.
But like I said, if that's the case, then fucking bring it, Mudvayne. I want to see, you know, because it's like, if your record doesn't fucking blow my, you know, melt my face off, then you're just falling into your own word soup.
Well, speaking of young and hungry, how about that? The Go Ahead and Die, Max and his son's band, Igor Cavalera, going out on tour soon. And Ro and I recently caught up with Max Cavalera. So let's dive into to our interview with Max Cavalera. We'll be right back.
convention last week, and they had to go to fly back to Chicago, and all their flights got delayed and all that. By the time they got back, it was negative 10 in Chicago.
Yeah, no, we think it's cold here because it's like 40. It's like, that's not cold. That's summer.
Yeah, right? For some of these people, right?
Yeah.
For the East Coast people, that's summer, and we're getting ready to go on tour, and that's going to be cold. That's cool. Yeah. But you know, it's always fun, man, hitting the – get out of the buzz and see, just snow everywhere, and it's fun. For me, it's fun because I don't live there, so I don't have to deal with that every day.
Right. It's fun to visit.
Right. It's like a tourist thing, man.
Right. That's how I feel when I go back to New York. I'm like, oh, so this is what cold is like. I'm going back to Los Angeles. I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool for a little bit in small doses, man.
Yeah. After that, I need palm trees. That's what
I need.
Exactly.
Yep.
Especially with you guys living in Arizona. I mean, like when you guys get to, when you have to go to snow, it's like, oh, wow. All right. Oh, this is what you guys have to deal with? Oof, fuck that.
We actually had a little bit of mild snow here last week. It was like first day of the year, and it was like hail, a little bit of hail, and I mean Flagstaff is 2 hours from here. They got full on snow there, you know.
They're up in the mountains, right?
Yeah, but me being from Brazil, I never saw snow until my first tour. Like we went to Europe. And I remember calling my mom. I said, Mom, I'm bringing you some of this for you.
Mail her home a snowball.
You know, and she's like, you can't do that. I was like, I know, Mom. It's a joke. You know? You know, I was like, I'm bringing you some of this snow for you from where were we? Switzerland, you know.
Nice.
We went to the Alps, you know. Like, it was cool to see snow for the first time after 20 years. Like I waited 20 years to see snow. It was crazy.
I know. Like I you know, it's funny. I mean, I grew up obviously in New York and New Jersey. So I've seen snow since I was, you know, a little kid. I mean, what's that like to see snow for like the first time? I mean, does it like freak you out?
My first time, I remember New York. First time I went to New York. I remember I walked one block and I had to go inside a store because my face was like freezing. My eyes broke. My face is hurting, you know, and I'll be walking. I was like, I got to go in the store for like a couple minutes and then I keep walking.
Right.
I couldn't just stay walking. It would hurt too much. But that's just me being a Brazilian and being a pussy about the weather pretty much. You know, it's like we never had that kind of stuff, man. It's pretty wild. But I talked to people like Gloria, like she grew up in her childhood was in South Dakota. That's like Siberia, right?
Yeah, right. Seriously.
So she's all like, I did all that to go. I had to go to school. I had to be like the kid in a Christmas story.
Can't put your arms down.
Bundle up and all that. It's like, I dealt with all kinds of different shit. My teacher actually would come to teach us to put a gun on the table. Because she didn't want nobody to fuck around with her class. So the first thing she did, I think she was a cop. She was a cop / teacher. So she took advantage of the situation. Like, all right, I'm going to intimidate these motherfuckers. I'll just put a gun on the table.
Let you know I mean business. Yeah.
Before I call you guys names out, there's a gun. It's on the table. Let's not fuck around today. that was my classroom memoir. Childhood, man. You know,
wow.
Like most people got to give the teacher an apple at the end of the class. You guys have to like leave her bullets. You know,
or bring her drugs. But she'll probably be happy.
Drop off a grenade.
That was hardcore.
Wow.
Well, let's do a proper introduction for the mighty Max Cavalera here. So let's welcome Max Cavalera of Go Ahead and Die to the new pod here, notfest.com. Unhealthy Mechanisms out now and full on like over a 2 month tour coming up, man. That is wild these days. Normally tours are like 3 weeks now, and this list of dates is amazing, man.
Yeah, we don't mess around, man. We go big or go home for us, man. You know,
when I saw the tour routing, I was like, who booked this thing?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you guys play like two, three weeks with what, like a day off?
Yeah, like, it's rough. It's rough. And
punk rock.
Our booking agent, which is Dan, you know, Dan, like, he made a Soulfly tour earlier last year that was like 11 weeks, I think. And that was like, I liked it so much, I actually frame it and put it on my wall. I have that in my room now. It's frame it. I framed the dates. I think it was the longest tour I remember doing in the modern age. I mean, you know, maybe Arise, we have one of those similar, but I don't think so. I think this was the longest one. And this one is not as long as that, but it's still quite big. But it's cool, man, because we never tour, Go Ahead and Die, never only play one show in Phoenix. Doesn't really count. so it's brand new for us. A bunch of cool new things with it. Like, we have a female bass player, Jackie. She got introduced via, we did a Facebook Live.
Yeah, I saw that. Right.
Yeah, a lot of people like that. I love some of the comments. Like, it looked like some kind of high school project, and I fucking love that. Like, fuck yeah, that's so cool. That's so punk rock, you know?
It is, man.
It's like, I heard of some, I did an earlier interview, and I didn't know about this because I'm a caveman. I don't have a phone, you know? So I don't know much about what the happenings of social media, but apparently the Frozen Soul guys were very happy that I was wearing their shirt, and they were really excited about that. And I think that I love that, man. That's so cool about metal, that a simple gesture as wearing a band shirt, you get this reaction from other musicians that get excited about it. I think that's so fucking cool, man. And I think Go Ahead and Die is right there. It's what's cool about it. It's right on the verge of like with the new stuff coming up, with, you know, going on tour with Body Box, and I love all the new stuff coming out. The new, you know, Chandra Stab Wounds, Jarhead Fertilizer, all these new bands are awesome. And I get to be part of that with Go Ahead and Die. Tip my toes a little bit on the new pond of metal coming out.
Right.
It's really cool.
No, definitely. I mean, hell, back in the day, that's how I found out about bands. It was like, what shirt is Phil Anselmo wearing? What shirt is Max wearing? That was how I found out about bands. I didn't know who Sludge Puddle was until I saw you wearing it.
Either that or the names of the bands, the band tank on the thanks list.
Yeah, and the liner notes, yeah.
Liner notes, that was a big one. Of course, today you have different things, like you have Spotify that give you playlist type shit, but I love that the brotherhood between metal, and I think it's even cooler sometimes when you wear a band shirt that you actually don't know the band guys, and you're just wearing because you like the band.
Right,
that makes it even cooler. I don't know how to explain. It's like eventually later you're gonna end up meeting them, you know, and then you become their friends. But a lot of times that happens, and I see a lot of photos of a lot of bands, young bands, and a lot of times they're wrapping Arise shirts. Schizophrenia is a big one, you know, like a lot of the old stuff that I was involved with, and I think it's really cool. There's a huge respect for the material I created through my career, and I think that is awesome that somehow I inspired these bands, and now I'm being inspired by them to do what I do. You know, it's a 360 type of thing.
Yeah. That is the best feeling, though, is seeing stuff like that. I'm dealing with that with a lot of the street teamers from Roadrunner back in the day, because now they're all tour managers and booking agents and everything, whereas, you know, they were 18 years old back in 2000, 2001, you know, when I was doing the Roadrunner thing. And now it's like I'm seeing them be tour managers or be merch people. It's the same thing. And they're just like, yeah, you're the reason I got into it. It's just a cool thing to see, like, really come full circle. Even doing this with Josh, you know, it's like it's a very cool full circle thing. That's what I always love about metal, is just how.
Yeah, well, you guys, you got, you were a madman. I just remember you outside so much shows, and you're running around like you just drank 10 Red Bulls and 10 espressos, and you're going out
I always said I was the Metal Flavor Flav. I was the Metal Flavor Flav. Like, come on, boy.
And Josh, you guys the best job. You get to talk to all the rock guys, man. It's so cool. Yeah. I love doing podcasts and stuff like that. I don't do many of them. But whenever I have a chance to do and just chat with people about whatever, it's always fun because a lot of times they become just conversations, you know. And I think that's kind of like how you get to really know your artist better is when it's not such a serious interview about the record, when they only talk about the record, you know. and a lot of times it's just like when you're just bullshitting with we're doing right now. Yeah. That's cooler. The cool thing to me, I feel like I'm 54. I think I got to double check that. I think I'm 54. I still feel a lot of times like a young kid that just love the whole process. I'm a metal fan first.
Right.
I love discovering bands, getting into it and find out about them. And then I'm a musician second. And then I also get a lot of energy from the fans, from the shows. And that's why we do it, you know? And so, for sure, man, metal is like saved my life for sure. For real. Yeah. Like there's no doubt about that. Like so many times, not just metal, but people in metal as well. People like Gloria and other bands that took us on tour, the crew guys, the band guys that you deal with. It's awesome. It's been a great journey.
Yeah, and it's like, it's just, even when you're on tour, it's just like, or especially when you're doing a festival, it's like a big high school reunion where you just get to see everybody all at once, you know? When you're doing
That's one of my favorite things. Like when you get to, especially when you meet somebody, you look, you're a big fan. And you try not to fanboy too much because that's
You don't want to do that.
Sometimes you can't help it, you know. Right. I'm one of the guys. I don't really have much of a filter. So a lot of times I kind of lose it. Like, dude, sign my arm.
Yeah. I'm gonna get it tattooed right now.
Yeah. Right. I have my forehead right now.
I was recently doing the media Louder Than Life, and Dave Mustaine was standing next to me, and the whole time I'm just like, that's fucking Hangar 18 right there, you know, like, you know, even though I met him a couple of times, it never gets old being around someone like that.
I mean, I remember one of the first times when I met Ozzy, and Black Sabbath was the band, you know, for us as kids, you know. And it's like, so meeting Ozzy was kind of unreal. And I think we went out to a restaurant with him and Sharon. And I was like, I'm gonna try to impress. I saw in the menu, they had a drink that came with fire. It's like, oh, I'm going to impress Ozzy, man. So I ordered a drink. It's called Cucaracha. And they never told me how to drink the thing properly. And the drink came with the fire, and I tried to drink it, and my hair caught on fire. There's all this commotion on the table, you know, and Gloria throws water in my hair, like to kill the fire going on my hair. And there's Ozzy sitting across from me, just laughing his ass off, and I was like, "This is fucking cool, man." You know,
I'm never gonna forget this.
I can die now, bro. You know, I'm good.
Well, with this being a new pod here on notfest.com, obviously being a new Metal Tinge podcast, and you made the comment earlier about your earlier work kind of influencing some of the newer, underground metal thrash bands and whatnot. But I mean, obviously your earlier work too, I mean, ushered in new metal, and kind of, helped Korn and a lot of those bands kind of find a sound, and that Brazilian rhythms and things like that coming into new metal, man. Kind of talk about this whole movement and kind of, you know, you're one of the godfathers of this whole movement, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. Like I got to experience, I think I've been very, blessed and in a way lucky in my career. I got to really, put my finger in all different styles of metal and be part of different movements, from black metal back in the day to all the death thrash stuff. And then industrial metal with Nailbomb. And then the whole new metal thing, that was a whole revolution with System of a Down and Korn. I remember Soulfly with System of a Down and Snot open for us. And we took Limp Bizkit to Europe and they got booed, man. And I had to talk to the crowd, tell them, dude, st- stop booing them, motherfuckers. You know, we're all the same, you know, blah, blah, blah. And fucking, and be part of that area of metal. It was really cool as well. And I love that. I miss that, the era too. It's cool, man. It gets, it's like, I don't know, best of both worlds, I guess. You get to, yeah, you see a lot of these young kids from all these, you know, 200 Stab Wounds and Fugitive, and they all really right. like your early stuff. But then if you talk to guys in like bands like, you know, like Slipknot or Suicide Silence, you know, for them, Soulfly 1 and Roots are huge records that they they really enjoy.
And all that, yeah.
They really love those, you know.
When it came to a song like Look Away, when Ross was brought in, DJ Lethal and Jonathan, how was that for you? Did you already know about Korn and Limp Bizkit at that time? Or was it kind of just like, hey, whatever works, man. You got an idea, let's fucking run with it.
When I was making Roots, I remember Dana, you know, Gloria's son that passed away. Dana was like, he was the guy that he lived with us in our house. So he show me a lot of bands, and I remember he showed me the Deftones demo first, and I think he had one of the early Korn demos, and I end up learning Engine Number 9, and when Deftones play here, 20 people was at the show, I got up on the stage and jammed Engine Number 9 with them, and that was really cool. I mean, it was even like, Deftones almost asked Gloria to manage them and Korn, and it was like a whole, and our kids love Korn, you know, Zion. And it was good to be part of that world at that moment, even working with, you know, recording at Indigo.
Right.
With Ross. When we brought, John and Mike in the same room for Look Away, that was what a moment, man. It was, it's one of those surreal, situations in when you're actually in the studio, you want to like pinch yourself, like, is this really happening? Like, right. are we really doing this right now? This is nuts, you know. But you know, through the years, you get to see them again. You know, we went to Russia with Korn, had a whole tour there. We ended up flying in the same private plane, and we made the back of the plane party. That was Soulfly Party Zone. And I remember, I think it was Monkey, their guitar player. He was like, "You guys keep it real back there." just a bunch of Vikings. You never lost that. When you go on tour, you just let it loose a lot of times, you know.
Right.
It's cool, man, and it's cool to being part of that experience. And like I said, it now I get to really experience all kinds of different things with Go Ahead and Die, with Killer Be Killed. Those are all different things that I get to express my metal love in different ways. Right. Go Ahead and Die is more underground, of course. It goes all back to the underground, the rawness of the whole underground. But yeah, I think like even when we did that festival in Vegas, Sick New World, that was one of the coolest Soulfly shows that I played in a long ass time. It was fucking cool, man.
The crowd was
going off. The whole festival had a great vibe about it.
Yeah, that was
fun. That was like came out of nowhere. It was like I wasn't expecting that. That was really cool. I'm actually working on a new Soulfly this year, writing and hopefully recording. But I don't think it's gonna come out till next year.
Okay, sort of on a slight detour of that. Is there any other Nail Bomb stuff ever happening?
Originally, I would love to convince Alex somehow. I need to do some voodoo shit to get him to do another record. man, it would have been the world we're in right now. It'll be perfect for Nail Bomb.
It really is. Yeah.
People that know me know I'm game for all kinds of stuff, and I would love to do it another Nail Bomb. We actually did a tour. Of course, Alex didn't came, but Little Igor was doing the vocals and did really good. It was really cool. We had Harmsway on tour with us and Cannibal Corpse. It was a fun run.
Right.
But I think like, I don't know, in a way, I think Go Ahead and Die is really somehow in many ways kind of similar to Nail Bomb is probably like some of the stuff of this record to me feels like could it be a Nail Bomb record somehow, just from the aggression. Because I think it's less electronic, of course. There's less industrial on it. But on the rawness and the energy and aggression side of it, it has the same just instant piss off feelings, you know, which is great. Yeah, man, I think we'll see what the future brings. But I really enjoy making the Go Ahead and Die record. It was kind of cool. It was like I gave Igor the keys of the car. Like, you drive the car now. I'm just going to sit in the back and watch the view, you know, and chill out, and you get to drive the car. So he wrote a lot of the lyrics. He wrote a lot of the riffs.
Nice.
He produced the album. So I was kind of like, it's not my thing. You're doing it. I'm just observing, you know, I'm just pushing you, helping you out, you know. And I mean, he did a tremendous job on the record. And,
wow, that's incredible.
And it's cool. It's cool to see that. And in a weird way, I felt very, I was like passing the torch, you know, like I feel comfortable now. Yeah, he's going to be all right. I don't even have to worry about it. You know?
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of times it's kind of hard, especially if you're a son of a musician. There's always the stigma, the compare with what you do, what the parents did. It's which is, I don't know, it's kind of a mistake. Like, they have their own personality, and let them write their story, their own story, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think we're kind of a very unique family in metal. I mean, we're like, I don't know, apart from the Osbournes, kind of like the second kind of crazy metal family out there with a lot of, you know, I have 6 kids, you know. So there's a shit ton of us, you know.
Well, it's like, not only that, me and Josh were talking earlier just about, you know, being on, when I was out with you guys on Ozfest in 2000, and it's like, you know, you got Igor and Zion just kind of running around as kids, just being raised on tour. Like, you know, just what a unique growing up experience that must be. And then to have both of them, and Richie also, you know, and then to have them all, like, in your bands in some way, shape, or form. I, you know, we were just talking about how, like, really incredible that is, you know?
It's so cool that we get to do stuff with them now. Like, you know, Richie, he comes out and he does Inside, and he sells a lot of my merch, you know, a lot of the, he does merch with us, which is great. And then get to do, Zion does drums for Soulfly, I do Go Ahead and Die with Igor. And you're right, like, those Ozfests with them, they were raised on that shit, man. It was, it was great. I think Richie, he spent a weekend in Ozzy's house, and Ozzy taught him how to smoke cigars, because Ozzy wanted to make sure that Richie doesn't smoke cigarettes. eventually it backfired, and Richie's a huge smoker now. Ozzy gave him a cigar. And I think when Gloria the other day, she showed me Zion's book. Zion and Igor, they have a photo book of their, kind of like a, you have your young years as a kid, and theirs got pictures with the Ramones, with Sabbath, with Maiden, and it's like, I never had a book like that when I was a kid.
Like, what kid has that kind of experience, you know?
I'm fucking jealous of this shit, you know? Cool. And they grew up in this environment, so there was no, it's like mafia, they're in, they can't get out, you know? It's like, once you're in for life. There's a really cool thing we're doing this year. It's in April, I think, and it's in Paris. They're doing a whole museum thing about our family. I think it's us, Robert Trujillo, and the Gojira brothers.
Nice.
Oh, and a whole exposition about families in metal, you know.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm really pumped with that. We worked with them for 2 years, and I gave them a bunch of guitars. They're gonna put a bunch of guitars in on their exposition, and it's in a huge museum in Paris, and it's gonna be crazy. I'm really excited for that. That should be really cool.
Very awesome. Cool. I mean, it's also a testament to you and Gloria too, because I mean, growing up on the road, you know, plenty of bands are doing drugs, they're drinking, they're doing all that stuff, and it's like, to have, you know, Igor and Zion and Richie kind of stay on this kind of narrow, like not narrow, but like this path of like being a musician and being dedicated and disciplined and all that, you know, it could have easily gone the other way, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We had to hide the beer from them from the first tours. And because they're all minors, you know, like
right.
Hide the beer. Hide all
the booze.
But, you know, yeah, I think, you know, Gloria was always really good with all that and kept, I mean, we were fortunate that we got to bring them on tour with us most of the time, a lot of bring. And when we didn't, we had really good babysitters. They stay home with them and watch out for them. But yeah. I think it's kind of cool, like how we, even how I mentioned to her a long time ago, I said, we're going to start a tribe, you know, and it's going to be the biggest tribe in the world. And that's, I was referring to first to our family, how we're going to create this metal family, and then how he's gonna branch out into the fans and to this. And I believe the metal tribe to be the biggest tribe in the world. We're millions of us, you know, worldwide. There's millions of us now, and it's so cool that we got to do that together. It was a unique opportunity that I had to do that with her, create this environment with her. And we got to experience all that with our kids. That's a very, very unique thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, hey, Max, I know we're running out of time, but I do want to ask you one quick question before we get out of here. And how satisfying was that Lions win last night?
Oh, I couldn't even talk during the game.
I heard about that.
Oh, yeah. I'm the most diehard Lions fan, definitely from Brazil ever. They got to show me a little love. Come on, Lions, you know.
Well, they're talking. The NFL has announced that they're going to play a game in Brazil next year. And if it's a Lions game, you got to be like, at least do the Star Spangled Banner or something.
You know? There you go. Let's go. I'm ready.
A metal version of the Star Spangled Banner. That'd be incredible, dude.
There we go. Yeah, man. It's an unreal feeling to be, because I've been a Lions fan now for over 10 years. I think 12 years now. I know they haven't won a Super playoff game in 33 years.
Yeah, it was like 92, I think.
Crazy. So it's killer. I was watching the game with my son Zion and my wife. We're all here at home, and it was a great. But I was so nervous I couldn't talk. I was like,
it was Zion, a good game.
Why you're not talking, man? You're all quiet. You know, I was like, I'm nervous, man.
Right.
You
know? Concentrating on them winning.
Nice. Because that it was like the it was right there between the new Lions and the old Lions. Like, which one is going to show up? You know, it was on the edge, man.
Good times. But
the new Lions prevail, so we're good. I'm nice. I'm actually hoping, I was hoping to do a ESP Lions guitar at some point with the Lions colors and the Lions logo and all that. So I hope that we get to do that this year. Especially if we win the Super Bowl, for sure.
Yeah, I think the only Lions fans I know of are you and like Jason Zielstra from Nonpoint. He's a massive Lions fan. So
yeah, there you go. You know, of course, they got Eminem, which is
cool. That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
But we represent the hard side of Detroit.
Max is like right. The Taylor Swift of Detroit Lions fans.
Yeah, I represent the hard side.
Good times. Well, once again, Max Cavalera, Go Ahead and Die out on tour coming up soon, and Unhealthy Mechanisms out now. And Max Cavalera, man, thanks for taking some time here. NewPodNotPressed.com.
Thank you, dude. I can't wait to see you guys play in SoCal. I will see you there.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Ro. Keep up the good work, my guys. We'll be right back.
again, thank you to Max Cavalera for taking some time here. NewPodNotFest.com. And man, how awesome was that, Ro?
That's dude, we could talk to him for like 3 hours and it's still, and it would just feel like a bunch of friends just hanging out,
yeah,
you know, shooting the shit. That's what I always loved about Max when I worked at Roadrunner, post Roadrunner. It was always like, it's like you didn't see him for 2-3 years and then you just pick up right where you left off. That's my favorite. One of my favorite things about him is that it always feels so comfortable talking to him.
Right.
You know,
guys, make sure to go and check out the Go Ahead and Die on Tour. And make sure to tell them that the new pod sent you. How about that?
All right. So in our 2024 attempt to really build out the new pod podcast and to make it a little bit more exciting, we're going to introduce a couple of cool little segments here and there. And lately, there have been a lot of books that are metal based, and so I being a huge comic book fan for a really really long time. And working with companies like Z2 and a bunch of other places, I thought it'd be a cool thing to kind of talk about some more metal-based comic book type stuff. So this is the first one I'm going to bring up. It's called Belzebubs. It's put out by Top Shelf Productions and IDW, who does Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles right now, celebrating their 40th anniversary, which is pretty insane. Wow. That TMNT is 40 years old. But this book is absolutely fucking awesome. It's absolutely really, really funny. It's about a black metal family. The dad's name is Sloth. The wife's name is Lucifer. The daughter is Lilith. And their new son is Leviathan, or Levy, as they call him. Nice. And it's basically about them just kind of living their life. Oh, they also have a grandma who refuses to let the grandfather die. So she just keeps carrying his corpse everywhere. Okay. Which is pretty awesome. They're constantly drawing pentagrams. They're always summoning demons. If you guys get a chance, this book is really funny. It's very almost Calvin and Hobbes-esque, as you can tell from the black metal snowman. Nice. That they built here. The dad is also in a black metal band called Belzebubs with Obasix is the bass player and Habith is the other guitar player. But everything has to do with skull and spikes and Satan and everything. And from what I understand, they're going to be doing something with Century Media in the very near future. But if you guys get a chance, check out Belzebubs.com. It's BelzeBubs.com. They have a bunch of merch. They have a bunch of sample pages from the book on the website. But I really, if you guys are into comic books, comic strips, or, you know, just want to read something really funny, definitely check this out. It's a lot of fun. It's a super quick read. They're all just like kind of 4-panel comics, but they're doing an Indiegogo on their webpage so that they can actually get the band together and actually do some really cool stuff. So please make sure you check that out. And I will be also talking about a few other books coming up from Z2 Comics, including the new Iron Maiden book, Cypress Hill. There's a whole bunch of books from them that I'm going to be reviewing. And if there's any books that you want me to check out, make sure you drop us a line at NewPod on one of our many, on the Instagram, on War Machine, on whatever. Let me know if you want me to check out a certain book that you think is actually really cool that you think our audience would like. And I will definitely check it out because to me, the more comic books, the better. But nice. Definitely check out Belzebubs, IDW, and Top Shelf Productions. You guys are going to love it. It's so fucking good.
Nice. Actually, speaking of comic books, I am not a comic book guy. But my cousin, like second or third cousin, it's twice removed or whatever you want to say, put out a Kickstarter for his comic book called Pistol Shrimp. Pistol Shrimp. He is a shrimp sheriff of like the Wild West. This is issue number one. I did back the Kickstarter. Nice. Got a nice signed copy here from Charlie McFarland. But yeah, man, I was I try to, you know, anytime I see these GoFundMes and Indiegogos and Kickstarters and everything else, if it's friends, family, I try to donate as much as I can because it's obviously a passion project. you want to get it out there. You want to, you just definitely want to support. And, you know, I've obviously, people have supported me over the years as much as they can. And I just kind of try to return the favor. But when I saw my cousin, you know, has been really trying to do this comic for a while and finally got a Kickstarter together, got the right artist together, all that stuff, I was just like, yeah, I'm going to throw some money at it. So yeah, I threw some money towards him, and I just go check out Pistol Shrimp.
How about that? I'm all about it.
Everybody needs a Wild West shrimp sheriff in their life.
Didn't even know I needed it till just now.
Yeah, and I got my name in the thank yous here on the front page. So that's always nice. But yeah, so let's in this episode with a new or nah, and I got one for you, Ro. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Godsmack.
Okay. You know, that's a really good, they're one of those bands that sort of towed the line for me as well. Definitely part of the era for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to your Stains and such. But at the same time, they didn't really fit the DJ, mentality. They didn't fit the rap metal mentality. And especially when you have a song like Voodoo, which is like my favorite Godsmack song. I fucking love that song. Do it karaoke and everything.
That is the worst song
ever. I know. You
don't it's so bad.
Remember the first time I heard it, I was like, this song is fucking amazing. And then when you told me you didn't like it, I was like.
The first time I heard it, I was like, this song is fucking terrible.
Well, just goes to show that art hits everybody differently, even if they're wrong. But that's kind of it. I mean, I would say nah. Because, you know, it really doesn't fit a lot of the parameters, I guess you could say, of nu metal. I'm sure like the downtuned guitars and stuff like that, you know, as much as they were always part of that genre or part of the ethos and the era and everything, I would have to say nah, because it never really fit any of those kinds of any of the stereotypes of nu metal that we've kind of come to understand, even though they were part of that time period.
Yeah, I think that they were definitely more of a, if you're going to say the term butt rock or something, but they were definitely more radio rock, and they definitely, you know, kind of went more of that mainstream rock sound. But obviously they were around for those Ozfest, and actually one of the better live bands every day. Like, I thought they were a great live band, even though I don't really like them.
Right.
They put on a great show every day.
Yeah, and not only that, but it's like, you know, considering the name is from Alice in Chains song, you know, it very much had more of a grunge feel than it did a nu metal feel.
Yeah.
So to me, I would say it's like literally like dipping their toe in the nu metal lake, but they never really took the plunge in that regard. So I would have to say nah, even though a lot of people would disagree with me, but yeah, I don't really see them as part of like, I couldn't imagine like, oh, Godsmack's on tour with Static X and Limp Bizkit. Like, it just doesn't, that wouldn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense to me, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to say nah to Godsmack.
Yeah, I will also go with a nah.
But yeah, to Voodoo.
So yeah, we episode number one of 2024, Max Cavalera. You can't get much bigger than that in the nu metal world. So once again, huge thank you to Max Cavalera for taking time with Ro and I. And so for new pod right here, notfest.com, I am Joshua Toomey. That is Ro Coley. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Tell a friend, and we will talk to you guys soon.
Yes, stay metal.
Thanks for listening to New Pod. Follow Toomey at Talk Toomey Talk and Ro at War Machine Merch. Rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your friends. Until next week, keep it new.